Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Score. How to Stop Playing Somebody Else's Game is a nonfiction philosophy book by C. Dai Nguyen that examines how scoring systems shape human behavior in games, sports, hobbies, and institutions. Centered on the relationship between scores and value, the book asks why game-like scoring can make activities more meaningful, while institutional metrics often reduce complex goals to narrow, measurable targets. Nguyen uses examples from video games, climbing, cooking, running, and bureaucratic life to show how people come to adopt external measures of success that may not reflect what they actually care about. The book is both a critique of modern quantification and a defense of playful self-directed forms of value. Its purpose is not to reject measurement altogether, but to distinguish between scoring systems that expand agency and those that distort it. By doing so, it offers a philosophical framework for understanding why people sometimes feel trapped by rankings, metrics, and optimization culture. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why game scores can deepen play instead of narrowing it. In games, scores are not usually the whole point. They are structures that help organize attention, generate challenge, and make improvisation possible. A score gives players a stable target, but it does not determine a single path toward it, so participants can experiment, adapt, and develop skill in multiple ways. This is why games can feel freeing rather than restrictive. The constraints of a scoring system create a space where creativity becomes legible and where effort has a visible shape. Nguyen treats this as a philosophical clue in games. Rules and scores do not simply constrain action. They help produce a richer form of agency. The book uses this insight to challenge the assumption that all scoring is inherently reductive. Instead, it shows that the right kind of score can make an activity more absorbable, more expressive, and more satisfying because it invites players to pursue a goal while still leaving room to define how that goal is approached. Secondly, how institutional metrics flatten complex values into shallow numbers. A major argument of the book is that the same logic that works in games becomes damaging when transferred into institutions. Universities, companies, governments, and other bureaucracies often rely on metrics, rankings, and quantitative targets because these are easy to compare and manage at scale. Nguyen argues that the convenience of measurement comes at a cost once a metric becomes a proxy for value. People begin optimizing for the number rather than for the underlying purpose. This can distort behavior, especially when the thing being measured is too complex to be captured by a single indicator. The result is not just bad policy, but a moral narrowing, because institutions start rewarding what is legible rather than what is worthwhile. Nguyen does not claim that measurement is useless. He recognizes that institutions need some form of simplified evaluation. His point is that scores in institutional settings tend to become substitutes for judgment, and that substitution can displace the richer forms of evaluation needed for education, care, creativity, and public life. Thirdly, the danger of outsourcing your values to external authorities. The book also explores a psychological and ethical problem. People can come to rely on external scoring systems to decide what matters. When rankings, performance indicators, or platform metrics define success, individuals may stop asking whether those measures fit their own values. Nguyen sees this as a kind of dependency, because the person no longer evaluates the activity from within, but instead submits to an outside standard. That shift matters even when the metric is useful, because it changes the source of practical judgment. A person who once chose goals becomes someone who merely manages scores. This is part of what Nguyen means by playing somebody else's game. The game may be technically optional, yet the metric exerts enough pressure that it begins to feel mandatory. The book is especially attentive to how this happens in settings such as work, school, and digitally mediated life, where numbers become easy to compare and hard to ignore. Nguyen's analysis is valuable because it identifies a subtle form of alienation, not simply being forced by others, but gradually adopting their measuring system as if it were your own. Fourthly, play, hobbies, and craft as alternatives to optimization culture. Nguyen repeatedly turns to hobbies such as climbing, yo-yoing, cooking, gardening, fly fishing, and running to show that meaningful activity often depends on a different relationship to goals. These practices are not valuable simply because they produce an outcome, but because the process itself can be absorbing, skillful, and personally formative. In such activities, the score or rule set is often chosen, modified, or interpreted by the participant, which preserves a sense of ownership. The book uses these examples to argue that people do not always need fewer standards. They need standards that remain open to judgment and situated practice. This makes the book distinct from a simple anti-metrics critique. Nguyen is not rejecting structure, discipline, or evaluation. He is showing that structure works differently when it is embedded in play, craft, or self-chosen challenge. In those contexts, Scoring can support freedom by helping people explore capacities they would not otherwise discover. The point is that form matters. The same numerical logic can either enrich an activity or impoverish it, depending on how it is used. Lastly, a balanced critique that still leaves room for large-scale coordination. One of the book's strengths is that it does not reduce the world to a simple contrast between good play and bad bureaucracy. Guyon recognizes that large institutions are necessary for organizing society, coordinating collective action, and managing problems that exceed the capacity of small communities. He does not suggest that all metrics can or should disappear. Instead, he argues for a more discriminating approach. Some domains require broad coordination and simplified measures, while others are better governed by local judgment, plural values, and participant-defined goals. This balanced position gives the book intellectual credibility, because it avoids the fantasy that complexity can be managed without simplification. At the same time, it refuses the idea that simplification is always benign. The book stands out by insisting that the real question is not whether to measure, but when measurement should govern and when it should merely assist. That distinction has practical consequences for education, work, design, and cultural life, where the wrong kind of metric can steadily replace substantive judgment with administrative convenience. In conclusion, The Score: How to Stop. Playing somebody else's game is best suited for readers interested in philosophy, game studies, cultural criticism, education, management, and anyone trying to understand how metrics shape modern life. It is especially useful for people who feel trapped by rankings, performance dashboards, productivity systems, or institutional targets that seem to reward the wrong things. The book offers two kinds of value. Intellectually, it clarifies why some scoring systems enhance freedom, while others compress judgment into narrow numbers. Practically, it helps readers notice when an external standard has quietly replaced their own sense of what matters. What sets the book apart from similar critiques of quantification is its grounding in games. Guyon does not begin from anti-bureaucratic resentment. He begins from a careful analysis of why scoring can be pleasurable, creative, and even liberating. That makes the argument more nuanced than a standard complaint about overmeasurement. It also makes the proposed alternative more realistic, not a world without scores, but a world in which people become more selective about which games they agree to play. If you would like to support C. Thein Guyon, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.